the OTV Sports app. Listen to OTV Sports Radio 24/7, plus all your favorite podcasts, including OTV Gold.
Are you a complete rookie?
The OTV Sports app, available to download now from your app store. The OTV Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.
The Paddy Power Half Hour on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power, as potent as Rashford and Fernandes post-lockdown. Gamble responsibly. See Dunlewy.net.
You're very welcome along to this Friday's edition of the Paddy Power Half Hour. A real Champions League feel about it. We're into the last few ties that have to be completed in the last 16 of the competition. Some of them have been waylaid by 5 months due to the pandemic. Tonight we've got a pretty tasty fixture. Manchester City up against Real Madrid, the Spanish champions, with City holding a 2-1 lead. We'll also talk about Juventus against Lyon. For the second season in a row, Juventus trying to turn over a deficit in the round of 16. We'll also look forward to the matches tomorrow. Chelsea of little or no hope away to Bayern Munich, 3-0 down from the first leg at Stamford Bridge. And it is on a knife edge going into the second leg at the Camp Nou between Barcelona and Napoli. That will complete our last 8 lineup for the Champions League. We will be looking into our crystal ball to try and predict what's going to happen between now and the end of the mini tournament in Portugal. We'll also have a bit of a look at the Europa League because 2 English teams are into the last 8. They could meet in the semi-finals. Manchester United set to play Copenhagen on Monday. Wolves also in action next week when they will take on Sevilla after Wolves' victory against Olympiacos last night. Joining me to take a look at all the action in the Champions League this coming weekend, we have the originator of the phrase Enda's Call. We've got Enda Call. Enda, good afternoon.
Will, what's crack?
Actually, look, we're tipping along, Enda. It's exciting times. This is a festival of football, as they say, which is coming up over the next 2 weeks or so. And we're going to have a most unique finish to both these famous tournaments, the Europa League and the Champions League.
Yeah, and it's a weird one. It's probably a bonus that this Champions League and Europa League are coming at the end of the season as opposed to sort of in the midst when you're talking about like teams trying to get a squad together so that they can cope with the pressures of the Champions League and with the Premier League at the same time. So the fact that these teams have both had sort of the end of the season under their legs and they're fresh, they're good to go. They've got the rustiness of the last 3 months out of them, and it's going to be exciting. The Champions League is always probably at this stage is when it starts to really get good. So we've got some really good second legs to look forward to. Hopefully tonight is no different to Man City against Real Madrid.
And look at that side of the draw too. I know on the far side you've got the potential final run for Atletico Madrid or PSG or Atalanta. We could well have first time finalists or first time champions on that side. But it's stacked on the other side where you've got Barcelona, Man City, Real Madrid, Bayern Munich, Chelsea, all on the one side of the competition. Whoever comes through to the final on that side is going to be battle-hardened when they get to Lisbon.
Yeah, it's unfortunate enough because it means that we probably will have a sort of one-sided final or you'll have a strong favourite going into the final. But when it comes to the likes of, say, the other side of the draw with the likes of Atalanta, who are real sort of dark horses in this tournament. I'm not sure if they have enough to win it, but they could really surprise a few people in this round and the next round as well if they get through, because they've been scoring loads of goals. Whereas I suppose on this side of the draw, if the likes of say Real Madrid or Bayern Munich meet, it's not guaranteed to be a great game. And in these sort of knockout games, teams are a little bit more edgy. We saw in the past the way that Real Madrid win the Champions League under Zidane is a real, it's not negative, but it's real pragmatic. And they don't go out to sort of attack teams or kill them with scoring loads of goals. It's a real pragmatic approach from one of the most flamboyant players. It's such a weird system that Real Madrid play under Zidane. I suppose a lot of people would have expected Zidane to play amazing football as a manager, but he really goes for the more pragmatic approach of keeping the ball and not conceding many goals. So if Real Madrid get through this, which I do think they might be a little bit sort of slight favourites going into this game against Man City, I think that again under Zidane they're just a different beast when it comes to European football, and since the restart of the season they've been much better than they were at the start of the La Liga season. So from this side of the draw the strongest side is probably Bayern Munich or Real Madrid, whereas on the other side I wouldn't rule out Atalanta getting to their first final.
Well, if Zinedine Zidane was in OTB Towers at the moment, he would say they had a 100% record in Spain after lockdown, and that's what resulted in them winning the league because Barcelona drew too many games after lockdown. Let's have a look forward to that game against Man City and Real Madrid. We're joined by Jason Murphy from our sponsors, Paddy Power. Jason, good afternoon to you.
Ollie, thanks for having us on, lads.
At this stage, you guys are still pricing up Man City as the favourites to win the competition. I'm guessing that reflects the fact that you reckon that they're going to get through against Real Madrid and this tournament might open up for them from here on.
Yeah, we'd actually have them joint favourites with Bayern Munich at the moment, both 3-1 at the top of the betting. But once we assume Man City are going to go through tonight against Real Madrid, or 1-10 shot to qualify, then Man City will shorten into about 11-4 and will be favourites for the tournament from there on in. And we'll meet Bayern Munich hopefully in the semi-final, because I think it would be a cracking game. If they were to beat Bayern Munich, as odds compiler, you're trying to gauge what way you would price that matchup. Chelsea are actually a very good reference point. If you look at what price Bayern Munich went off at Stamford Bridge in the first leg, it was very similar to the price Man City went off post-lockdown when they went to Stamford Bridge, albeit Man City weren't that motivated for that game. So I think if Man City were to meet Bayern Munich at a neutral venue in the semi-final, we think Man City will be slight favourites, and hence that feeds into why we think there will be slight favourites overall for the outright.
When you're doing up the prices for this, does it change your thinking a little bit compared to February or March when the season went into lockdown? Because you would have been considering two-legged ties and everything that goes along with that. But once we get through this weekend, as you mentioned, we're going into one-off games in empty stadiums at neutral venues, which perhaps takes away some of those kind of natural advantages and disadvantages that some of these clubs would have had.
Absolutely. When you're pricing the outsiders in particular, because they're one-legged games, it's less opportunity for the better team to show why they're the better team, and you can get the upsets in it. So we do factor that into our pricing. In terms of this game, Man City against Real Madrid tonight, we try to go beyond the results. Now, if you look at Spain, you see Real Madrid are champions, won the 10 games that mattered, and then drew against Leganes when the title was won. But in those 10 games, 6 of those games, Madrid only won by a single goal. In 5 of those games, they were awarded penalties, and 4 of those penalties were to break the deadlock at 0-0, and some favourable decisions in that. As Ende alluded to, Real Madrid are quite pragmatic, and that's why you try not to get carried away on actual results and try to just dig a bit deeper into it. And we would agree with the match prices tonight. Man City are going off at about 8-13 this week, having shortened. I think people kind of jumped on the bandwagon of that Real Madrid run. If you went back to the start of June, Real Madrid were about 35-1 to win the Champions League. They've been backed into 25-1 now off the back of that run. But Man City went off favourites in the Bernabeu and won the game in the end, deservedly so. So for me, I think Man City are the right price tonight. And it's looking beyond the actual results when it comes to odds compiling and trying to get an accurate as price as possible.
Dare I suggest as well, Real Madrid are without their captain, their second top scorer in La Liga, and the guy who scored all those penalties in those games they won during late May and into June, that was Sergio Ramos, and he's suspended for tonight. Quite aside from the impact on their defence, it takes away their first choice penalty scorer and takes away their leader tonight too.
Yeah, it is a big loss, there's no doubt about it. And it's a really interesting angle if you're looking to have a bet on the game tonight. Karim Benzema, since Ronaldo has left, has really stepped up to the plate. In the last two seasons, he's scored 21 goals in La Liga each season, and he will be the penalty taker now with Ramos missing tonight. Looking at the games that took place during the week, there was a few penalties given. There was one in the Getafe game and one for Copenhagen that might necessarily have been given in the English Premier League, and it's just the way you wait for a referee in those handball decisions. At Paddy Power, if you log into your Paddy Power account today, you'll get a free €5 bet on this Man City Real Madrid game tonight. Like I said, with the possibility of a penalty being given easily and Benzema the one to take it, you can actually use that fiver to back him at 11-2. You can also have a look at De Bruyne. Has his best return in any league season, 13 goals this season, and he's actually on penalties for Man City as well. You could get him at 13-2 to use that fibre. It's just, like I said, the way UEFA handled this handball rule. If you go back to the penalty United got against PSG to get through last season, I don't agree with those being given as penalties, but might as well use it to your advantage if you're having a look in the goal scorer markets for any games in the coming weeks over both tournaments.
Team 33 presenter Endicol, when we look forward to this game, you see how difficult it is to overturn in the knockout stages a deficit after you've played your home leg first. Only ever been done on 5 occasions. Bizarrely enough, 3 times last season, so it was a real red letter year for it. But it's extremely difficult when you do go in behind. In the case of Real Madrid, they know that it's not just a victory they're going to need tonight. They're going to have to score more than once at the Etihad.
Yeah, well, I mean, they do have to score more than once, but that's not impossible. I suppose the biggest issue for Real Madrid, if I were going into this game as a Real Madrid manager, is not conceding, because then you have to score even more goals. So it's important that they keep their defence solid. First of all, they do have probably the best or second best defender in the world in Varane, depending on where you fall on Virgil van Dijk. But going forward, I think a lot of people are underestimating this Real Madrid side because of how poor they were at the start of the season and how poor they were when Man City took them on the first place. But they're really different now. If anybody's watched any La Liga since the season has returned, Zidane has finally been able to get this group of players to buy into what he wants them to do. And I think they have a really good chance of actually surprising a lot of people in beating Man City. We've seen with Pep Guardiola sides in the past that when the pressure is on them, they're never really that secure in keeping those leads. The likes of the Liverpool game springs to mind, and games in the past where Pep Guardiola has been managing in Europe, where they didn't have enough to keep. They're almost maybe too attacking, too naive when it comes to it. And if Real Madrid can get an early goal at the Etihad, then I would have them as strong favourites to go through. It's going to be an interesting one. If you think of the sort of fixture that you want to see at this point in the season, it's Man City in form against an in form Real Madrid side. So it's going to be a really good game either way, I'd say.
Yeah, Jason, I was talking to Kenny Cunningham on Off the Ball last night, and he brought up Man City's poor defence under Pep Guardiola in big games. They've got a very poor record of keeping clean sheets in the Champions League. Only twice in 11 knockout games have they actually kept a clean sheet during the Guardiola era. You would imagine that for City, they're probably going to have to score to make sure they get through tonight. I think it's likely that Madrid get one. I don't know if they're going to score more than one, though.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. The Man City defence has always been a concern, and despite Pep paying millions, he still hasn't solved it as such. The Laporte injury, a massive figure factor this season in why they have conceded more than what they probably would have otherwise. In terms of the goal expectancy for this game, earlier in the week, the markets had it that we were expecting 3.5 goals to occur in this match tonight. That seemed a little bit high to me. Like we've said, how pragmatic this Real Madrid team is under Zidane, and what we're saying is that maybe have a look in the under 2.5 goals market. Or if you look at the first leg, the first half was actually really, really tight. There was only one chance in the first half. It was 0-0 at half time. We reckon that there's probably at most 3 goals expected in this game, and the markets have started to move that way. So would expect it to be a lot tighter than what you might traditionally think looking at the two team names. But in terms of Pep Guardiola, he just hasn't quite solved it defensively. But you can't argue with the experience that he has. It's phenomenal what's on the sidelines tonight. I mean, Pep Guardiola has won more Champions League knockout ties than any other manager. There is an argument that he does tend to overthink it. Even in the first leg, we've seen the way he kind of left, you know, Sterling, Aguero on the bench, and had Silva and De Bruyne kind of rotating as a front nine. It did work. They got the result. But Pep does have a history of overthinking it, and he's actually said this week that he finds it very hard to figure out what Zidane's plan is. Zidane does change it up. So it's going to be a fascinating tie. Really looking forward to it. And like Zidane's won 3 European Cups, albeit with what people say is a bad Real Madrid team. So it's just going to be fascinating. As a spectacle, they'd love to see an early Real Madrid goal. And if Man City are going to win the Champions League, these are the kind of games that they have to come through if they're going to win it come 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, that's the one of the 8 p.m. kickoffs tonight. I'd imagine the game for the purists. If you're not interested in the rough and tumble of the Spanish champions going to the Etihad, you might watch Juventus against Lyon. And we've got Juve behind. Again, they were able to turn things around against Atletico Madrid last season. You would imagine that surely Cristiano Ronaldo and co, given that they had the Italian league wrapped up with a few games to go, they've rested players, that Juve will come out tonight and overturn that 1-0 deficit.
Yeah, I suppose if you're looking at this side of the draw, this is the hipster's choice of the games that you're going to watch, and there'll be a few people in the office that would probably watch this ahead of any of the other games. Juventus have been poor enough in the last few weeks in the Serie A, but they have sort of the league pretty much wrapped up at that point in time. So Ronaldo Ronaldo is an interesting point because although he scored so many goals, he hasn't been Juve's key player this year. It's been very much a Dybala show. And what was surprising about that is how sort of set on selling Dybala that the Juve were at the start of the season. And he went on to be sort of their player of the season. So he's going to be a really key player in this if Juve are going to turn it around. I suppose going into this game, one thing you want to take into consideration is the fact that Juventus have been here, they've done it before, they have the experience. I know they haven't kicked on and won the competition in a while, which is really their main aim because they've dominated the Serie A for so long. But it's you look at Lyon and you wonder, are the players experienced enough at this level? Do they have the bottle to hold on to this 1-0 lead? And the fact that Juve have like key winners in that team, if you look at Dybala, you look at Ronaldo, their defensive players like Chiellini and Bonucci and Buffon and Nets, these are players that know what it takes to win these key fixtures. And you'd probably look at Juventus as probably easy enough winners in this game, if not 2-3 goal winners.
Well, Jason, the interesting thing about this as well is even though Juventus have been able to rotate in recent weeks and they lost a couple of their last games in Serie A with scratch teams out, they've still been playing football, while Lyon have only played one game since lockdown, and that was the French League Cup final, which they lost to Paris Saint-Germain on penalties this day last week. They're coming into this with a lot of ring rustiness, I would imagine, ahead of going to Turin tonight.
Yeah, it is a concern and a massive factor when it comes to pricing the game up. They did keep PSG scoreless in that game, took them to penalties. And if you look at the prices for this, I think Juventus are probably about right now, they're 8-15, but earlier in the week they were 2-5 to win in 90 minutes and they're actually favourites in the qualifying betting. But Lyon have actually moved into favourites to qualify from this tie this morning. A couple of factors being, again, going beyond looking at the actual results, Juventus did win Serie A, but they haven't been brilliant and haven't been brilliant post-lockdown. If you look at, you know, metrics like XG or expected points, Atalanta and Inter Milan both deserve to finish ahead of Juventus in Serie A this season. Even when Juventus played Atalanta post-lockdown, it was two very soft penalties that Juventus got that allowed them to get the 2-2 draw. And if you go back to the first leg, Lyon were very, very good. They got the goal in the first half and they decided not to man Mark Ronaldo. They just got their players back, solid defensive structure lineup, and prevented Juventus from having a single shot on goal. Now Juventus were still threatening, they just happened to not have hit a shot on target in that game. Dybala had one ruled out, correctly ruled out. So Lyon, I think, are well set up to actually go here and avoid defeat and therefore go through in the tie. A massive thing as well is Memphis Depay. Prior to him getting injured, he had scored 9 goals in 12 appearances in League 1, but in the Champions League he had 5 goals in 5 appearances. He was missing from the first leg, so he's a massive threat for Lyon to have to try and catch Juve on the break, who will have to chase the game eventually if it's gone, you know, last 15 minutes and they haven't scored. So I was tipping up Lyon as favourites to qualify. You could have got even money earlier in the week. It has shortened in a bit now. It's probably about maybe 5-6, 10-11. But it's going to be a really fascinating game. And yes, Lyon are rusty, but Juventus, despite playing all that football, haven't been great. And Sarri even said himself that they were suffering a bit from tiredness, which is almost laughable given the size of the squad that they have. But he did rest those players in those last few games. The only thing that I think might have moved the prices today is Dybala has been an injury concern. 17 goals in all competitions this season. So if Dybala doesn't start tonight, then that is going to be a massive factor. A Serie A player of the season is what he got, despite what Ronaldo might think or say about that. So again, it's one for the hipsters. The only disappointing thing is why UEFA have scheduled these games to kick off at the same time.
Yeah, it's a pity one's not a 6:05 and one's not a 8:15 as we had back in the group stages. We could have watched both. We've got two games tomorrow night again, also at the same time. And do you give Chelsea any kind of hope? I mean, Bayern Munich have been rampant since the Bundesliga season came back. They absolutely took Chelsea apart in the first leg at Stamford Bridge. A couple of goals for Serge Gnabry and one for Robin Lewandowski. I can't see Chelsea doing anything tonight, having to pick themselves up, particularly after the FA Cup defeat last weekend.
No, and I mean, if you look at Chelsea throughout the year, one of the key things, and I suppose the 3-0 loss to Bayern Munich in the first leg kind of highlighted this. It's the main point I would use to, if you look at Chelsea throughout the year, what has caused them issues, and that's pacey forwards getting in behind them, getting Rudiger on his back foot, or getting against their left side of the defence with Marcos Alonso, going at them with all they have. Chelsea can really, you really do damage to Chelsea if you can get in behind them, and you saw that against Arsenal in the FA Cup. Every time Kieran Tierney got the ball, it was a long ball over the top to try to set Aubameyang off in behind the defence. And Bayern Munich are the team that are set up in Europe best to absolutely destroy Chelsea when it comes to that, with the likes of Alphonso Davies coming up from left back. You have the likes of Pavard as well getting forward from right back, Serge Gnabry. And then you have the threat of Lewandowski, who was arguably, if there wasn't a Ballon d'Or this year, he could have been one of the main contenders for it. So Bayern Munich are set up to be, I understand why they are key favourites going into this, key favourites is to be outright winners in the Champions League. But to go in against Chelsea, if there's any team that is set up to do damage to them, it's this Bayern Munich side, and they've been brilliant under Hansi Flick over the last couple of weeks.
Jason, is this even a betting prospect? I mean, this to me feels like a horse that's absolutely odds on going into a race. Is it worth even touching Bayern Munich with any kind of money tonight, or tomorrow night, I should say?
Yeah, so they're 4-11 to win in the 90 minutes. You can get Chelsea 40-1 to qualify, and it's not going to happen. One reason why we think it won't happen is they'll have to score at least 3 goals tonight. Bayern Munich have played 47 games this season and only on one occasion have conceded 3 goals. That was to Hoffenheim in the German Cup back in February. But they still won the game 4-3, and were actually 4-1 up with 10 minutes to go. Hoffenheim only got the 3 goals because Bayern Munich switched off and let them. So if you are looking for a betting angle for this game, what I would suggest is having a look at first half most goals. You'll get about 2-1 on it. Bayern Munich haven't played competitively since winning the German Cup at the start of July, but they did play Marseille in a friendly last week, and they started with what was arguably their best 11. And made a rake of changes then at half time and early in the second half. So I'd imagine Bayern Munich to do similar tonight, start with the best 11, have them get that kind of match practice, match readiness for next week when they're into the quarterfinals. So it's likely that you'll see Bayern Munich score a couple of goals in the first half and then take the foot off the pedal and the momentum of the game go out with a rake of changes at half time and maybe second half. It's hard to see what Chelsea will do with it. They might actually just try and keep it tight and not actually go for it. Frank Lampard might treat it almost like a pre-season friendly. And he has had a good season in my book. People would say, you know, Sarri got 6 more points in the league, won the Europa League, but Sarri had Eden Hazard. You know, Eden Hazard in that FA Cup final could have made a difference, or Eden Hazard over the course of a season is worth more than 6 points. So I think Lampard has done well, but hard to see him getting anything out of this game. And the angle there is I'd be trying to side with Bayern Munich in the first half and have a look at maybe that half to have most goals.
And let's move forward to the team who are going to join Bayern Munich in the quarterfinals. It is going to be either Barcelona or Napoli. Barcelona have been very undependable in the last few weeks of the Spanish league season. Messi talking about his frustration, having to drop deep in games, and their front three haven't got going this year. It hasn't been a good season for Antoine Griezmann in his first year at Barcelona. Is there a chance Napoli could catch them out tomorrow?
There definitely is, and if you look at the, I suppose this is sort of the wet duck of the fixtures for this weekend anyway. Napoli haven't been in great form in the final few months of the season. Barcelona have been awful in the final few months of the season, and really this is the end of this Barcelona, Quique Setién's tenure, and the players don't look interested. The manager looks like he's on his last legs. There's no shape to the team. Barcelona have been spending loads of money, they're going into debt, and really Barcelona have lost sort of their identity over the last couple of years. They've been spending loads of money on players that don't really fit into the system, and then I suppose Messi is key in every way to Barcelona, be that on the pitch. He's the only player that can really produce this sort of magic that only Messi can do, really. But also politically, Messi is being used as a tool for presidential runs and for managers coming in. And Quique Setién was never first choice for Barcelona. It was always going to be Xavi. So I think at this stage of the season, the Barcelona players didn't look interested in La Liga. I struggle to see how they're going to be interested 2 weeks after the La Liga has finished and get themselves up for this game. I, I, I'd, I wouldn't even call it a shock if Napoli were to beat Barcelona this week.
Yeah, Barcelona missing two of their key midfielders coming into tonight. Sergio Busquets is suspended, so is Arturo Vidal, who would have both started, I would imagine, in the midfield. Frankie de Jong is back from injury, which will maybe lessen that blow a little bit if he goes into the Busquets position. But Jason, you look at it, for me, Barcelona looks somewhat vulnerable. I know they've got the away goal, but they're playing at Camp Nou, which is going to be empty tonight. They haven't played all that well at an empty stadium during the period in La Liga. And I would imagine Napoli go to Spain tonight pretty much as a free hit.
Absolutely, it is a free hit. Like, Gattuso and Napoli have nothing to lose. Since Gattuso took over, like Ancelotti was sacked with Napoli in seventh and to finish the season seventh, but he picked up the Coppa Italia just post-lockdown as well, so he's had a decent start there with them. You referenced the players that are missing for Barcelona tonight, and also missing Arthur, who's gone AWOL in Brazil, who won't play for the club again. The fact is going to Juventus now. But since Setien came in, the best performance we've seen from Barcelona was away to Villarreal. And what he did tactically for that game was he played a 4-3-1-2. Now, the three in midfield would be fine tonight. If De Jong is fit and he's playing, that's fine. You'll have probably Sergio Roberto, who's probably a fancy man. It's John O'Shea. He always does well when he plays in and can play a couple of positions. And you'll have Rakitic in that midfield three as well, who's just a superb, intelligent footballer. But the front three he played against Villarreal was Griezmann, Messi and Suarez. And they played a 1-2 up top and just constantly rotated, scored four goals against Villarreal, who are arguably a team that are well suited to conceding goals. But if he goes with that formation tonight, I can see Barcelona scoring enough goals that will mean they will go through and Napoli won't be able to catch them. Yes, it is a bit sad. It is the end of the Barcelona era. Messi's standards haven't dropped. 25 goals and 21 assists this season is just phenomenal. I'm not involved in the betting in Barcelona. I haven't backed it this season, and that's why they've been drifting all year long, and rightly so. I was surprised that the sack Valverde. He got the sack because of the Spanish Cup going to Saudi Arabia, and he lost the game out there and decided to sack him off back. Whereas if they had kept them, I'm not saying they would have won the league, but they would have put up a better fight than what they did. So like I was saying, I'm not involved in Barcelona in the betting, but if there's one team I could pick to actually win the Champions League, I'd love to see them win it, and Messi just to get another title that his brilliance absolutely deserves. It should be a good watch. It'll be the game that I'll be watching, because obviously Chelsea, Bayern Munich, we don't think there's much going to be happening there. But Barcelona, I can't see them going all the way. Like you referenced earlier, they're on the wrong side of the draw. When they come up against better teams, despite Messi's brilliance, it's hard to see them going all the way.
Surely John O'Shea is the rich man's John O'Shea, no?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Yeah, no, I'm a big John O'Shea fan, and until Roberto nutmegs Luis Figo or the like, I suppose John O'Shea will be maybe a step above.
Jason, just before we let you go, in terms of the overall market, you've mentioned that Man City, Bayern Munich are the joint favourites at the moment at 3-1. Was looking at the prices before we came in, a lot of teams on that kind of heavyweight side are inside the top 5 or 6 favourites to win the competition. What is the fancy on the other side in terms of PSG, Atalanta? Are you giving them much of a chance of winning the competition?
Yeah, so if I was to give you one tip, it'd be Atletico Madrid at 9-1. First of all, I'll just say about Atalanta, I think the price is gone. And as odds compiler, it's all about, you don't just back for the sake of backing. You want to back at a price that you think is right. And I think the Atalanta price has now gone too short. Everyone who follows football has now copped on to how good a team Atalanta are. PSG, I think, are a little bit short as well. Mbappe is missing, but I do think PSG, they will go off favourites against Atalanta, and I would expect them to come through into the semi-final. On the game then, Atletico Madrid against Leipzig. Leipzig have lost Timo Werner, 7 goals in 9 games post-lockdown. He's a massive loss. But they've also got a couple of significant injury doubts. Poulsen, Patrick Schick, who would have carried some of the goals up front, and then Sabitzer is also a doubt, which would be a massive loss. So we've seen Atletico Madrid shortening the match betting and shortening the outright as a result. But you can obviously reference the performance at Anfield. The performance in the two legs were really good against Liverpool, and they are that team that, similar to Real Madrid, have improved in the second half of the season, or have improved post-lockdown. Diego Costa is fully fit. He got a nice break. Joe Felix is a future Ballon d'Or contender and always carries a threat. But defensively, we know what Atletico Madrid can do. They're just the most dogged team, and as a football purist, I love watching them. That first leg against Liverpool was absolutely fantastic. And like we say, this competition is now a one-legged affair. All that Atletico Madrid have to do to win this title is to come through against a weakened Leipzig, either PSG or Atalanta in the semi-final, and then whoever they get in the final, there will be underdogs, whoever comes across from the other side of the draw. But in a one-off game, Atletico Madrid have been here before, unlucky not to have a Champions League under Simeone. I think at 9-1, if you're having one bet in the outright, that's probably where the value is at the moment.
Yeah, Atletico Madrid already having knocked out the holders, Liverpool, in the competition, and there you've heard it first. Atalanta are such dark horses, they can't even be considered dark horses anymore. My thanks to both Jason and Enda for joining us on the Paddy Power Half Hour. Good luck to you if you're having a punt on the football and the Champions League this weekend, or on the Europa League next week. We will be back with you next Friday. For information on responsible gambling, check out dunlewy.net. We'll speak to you at 1 next Friday afternoon.
The Paddy Power Half Hour on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power. We love the beautiful game more than Olivia Giroud loves the near post. Gamble responsibly. See dunlewy.net.
The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.